plate a potential nugget.
So just coming back to how leaders can settle in and the point you made around cultural fit, Gopal, listening intently often comes up as a key theme, right? For leaders settling into a new context.
Yeah.
If you had to double click on that, could you expand a little bit on how a leader can listen more or intently as they settle into a new context, especially for the first 3, 6, 9 months?
You know, I think the most important thing is an introspection within yourself. This is my experience, okay?
Sure.
When I was vice chairman of Hindustan Lever, the shoes would click and I would get all the salutes as I entered the building. Everybody knew me, they served me, and you know, I was the amongst the older members of the management committee, and therefore, you know, you sort of automatically feel that you're a proven guy. When I was entering Bombay House 22 years ago, no heels clicked. Nobody knew who the hell you were. And at the most, my imagination allowed me to have a few people say in hushed tone, oh, he's a new guy they brought in, you know, because some media coverage had been there, small media coverage. I was an unproven person. And every person was sizing me, as indeed I was sizing them. This is a very good situation to be in because it jolts you from your complacence of thinking you're a proven fellow, saying that I might have won Wimbledon, but I'm now in, Roland Garros. And I think it brings a certain amount of humility that I may get knocked out in the second round. So this is the most important self-introspective thinking that must come. It doesn't come automatically because for 30 years you got used to being seen as a, you know, you become a general in the army. If you now go and take charge of the Navy, one shouldn't assume that you're going to be successful. The second aspect that would come to me is to informally adopt, not appoint, adopt some mentors. Some guys who are senior people or people in your interaction zone, whom you can go and chat with, and who will give you, if not a direct hint, at least a lateral hint, that, you know, this is not the way we do things here. Or while your reaction was very logical, the way you expressed your reaction could be better. I found these two to be very helpful. The third is, of course, last. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Don't make a fatal mistake, like punching your boss on the face. But you will make mistakes, and you must be willing to admit that you made a mistake. When I was a vice chairman, Hindustan Lever, in a sense, I knew what to do. I could do it. If I was a bit ham-handed, people understood. Here, I wasn't sure what to do, but I still did a few things. And when I was ham-handed, I got the signal back. Because I was looking for the signal. Nobody was coming and telling. And I think, therefore, it's like climbing. Being in the company you've been in for the last 10 years, 20 years is like driving on the highway. You can race the engine 60 kilometers. You know where the restrooms are and where the restaurants are. Going to new companies like rock climbing, you're not sure where your next foot is going to sit, at least for the first 2, 3, 4 years.
Of course.
And if you go with that mindset and that you're not a racing car, if Narayan Karthikeyan has to go rock climbing, he had better change his methods.
It's a great metaphor. You need to feel the new surface before you start putting your weight on it. And just back to the second point, Gopal, in terms of having that informal set of people who tell you a little bit about how things work here. Any insights around where you could find them? Are they around your peer group? Is it superiors? Is there any wisdom around how we look for them?
Around your peer group is what I did. But it could be subordinates as well. It could be your boss. It could be a combination. But the important thing is not that you adopted them, because it's not a conscious process. You're not sort of saying from tomorrow so-and-so is adopted as my mentor. But some people who seem to be more forthcoming, even if in tangential terms, so they want to hurt you, And it's the signals that you look for. In other words, the transmitters are all around you. But you have to tune your receiver. If you are on the wrong frequency and your receiver is not receiving, what's use of the transmitters?
In my work with leaders who transition into a new context, I realize that suddenly it feels that the organization has become introverted. People stop speaking with you. And just like one says, if you're leading a team of introverts, you need to find a way of listening to the silent voices. Ravi Venkatesan speaks about how he adopted a few internal and external mentors as he took on a chairman role in a public sector bank.
As you know, that about 18 months ago, I took on a completely new role as the chairman of a public sector bank.
Right.
Now, I know nothing about banking, and I know even less about public sector. But yet, Raghu and Raghuram Rajan and Jayant Sinha felt that it was important that I take it on, so I did. Now, what do you do in this situation? And you know that the place is filled with landmines, and you can step on anything and without realizing it and get blown up. So, what you have to do is listen intently, and I did. I made it a very conscious effort to listen to a bunch of people, retired chairman of the Bank of Baroda. Okay, so help me understand from your perspective, you know, what I should do, what the issues are, how would you handle them?
Hmm.
You get a certain perspective. I went and spoke to Vagul of ICICI and PJ Nayak of Axis Bank,
sure.
Even though they've been around and seen the evolution of the banking sector. I've met a lot of our own employees and so forth. So from this, you begin to piece together first the situation, and then out of that emerges a theory of change, which is, you know, what interventions are really going to make a difference, and who are going to be the important allies in this. If you don't listen and you start immediately, you come in with a point of view, you start, you know, jumping into action right away, you're going to make a lot of mistakes because you haven't built this nuance.
The point around developing a high-resolution picture of the theory of change is an important one. Most of the transitioning leaders often have a clear sense of the what they need to do, but often the failures are because they didn't appreciate the how well enough. And I like the point Gopal makes about adopting these mentors and not necessarily appointing them. In my work with leaders, I find that leaders are a bit like an engine that is raring to go. But unless that engine builds a strong connect with the compartments, it's going to snap at some point. So if I may double-click on the point around adopting mentors, I think it's key that you invest in informal relationships internally so that over time, you develop a cohort that you connect with that warms up to you and can act as an informal feedback loop. I've noticed that this is something organic that evolves and not a list of five names that's given to you. The key, however, is that the leader often comes into a fire and there are 50 things clamoring for his or her attention. It's key that he or she creates the mind space and the discipline to slowly build these relationships and develop a circle of mentors who can act as guardrails as they move forward. Thank you for listening. If you find this of value, do take a moment to visit the podcast archives at playtopotential.com. You might specifically be interested in my conversation with Michael Watkins, the author of the book First 90 Days on how leaders can settle in effectively in a new organization. You might also like the theme, Settling into a New Context, Relevant, where we learn from leaders across different walks of life on how they navigated the first few months in a new environment, including someone like Gandhiji when he moved back to India from South Africa.